If you remember, summer was an exciting summer, right? One of the biggest prayers that we had was that prior to the summer that the Lord would get a hold of the hearts of our teenagers, and I believe that he did. And the next continual prayer was that the Lord would continue to get a hold, and even more, the teenagers would continue to be willing to give their heart to him. And I want to tell you that we're fighting for it, but praise the Lord, so far they have. And what a blessing it is to be able to see that. We've been blessed at the church just with the opportunity for, or really for several of our teenagers to surrender their life to the Lord, right? Whether it be in full-time service, whether it be to be a missionary, or whether it be to preach the gospel, amen? So we've got three of them that want to follow the Lord's will in their life. Now, we're going to go ahead and have our first one come up. I mentioned at least the first two to, you know, limit it to 5 to 7 minutes. But you know how that is if you're a preacher. First message, all right, a minute can feel like an hour. Unless you're going hot and heavy, and an hour can feel like a minute. So just bear with them and be praying for them. We're going to have Josiah Vercellus to come up first.
Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. This is a verse that, like, since I was little, I've known that my dad has always had us memorize, and, like, growing up in his super church with him, it was, like, just something that we always knew, and this is a great verse for me that I, like, enjoy to read and think about, and to now be preaching on the subject of affecting others for Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for this day, Lord, and allowing us to be here. And please bless today. Help us have a good day today. And just please bless me and Jeremiah and Ben, Lord. Just help us to have the right words, Lord. Just give us wisdom on what to say, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to have the courage, Lord, to stand up here, Lord. Just help us and just help me to be a blessing to someone tonight, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it's the Apostle Paul writing to a young preacher named Timothy who's, I don't know where he is, and he's writing to him, and he's like a young guy that he's been with Paul for like a really long time since he was just a little kid, or not a little kid, but like in like college or something. He's just been like going with him, helping him as much as he can. And now that he's taking over one of his churches, he's writing to him. I think he's in jail, but he's writing to him to like keep preaching the gospel. And I want to notice first, one of the things that he tells him here to be an example to the elderly people and other people around him is, first of all, is the word. And I thought, like, at first I thought that just meant, like, one word that you say can affect someone. But I looked it up in the dictionary just because, and it said it was a brief remark or conversation. And this caught my eye. It said, a quarrelsome utterance or conversation usually used in plural. So I didn't know what that last part meant. But the first part is, like, something that me and my siblings obviously go through a lot, having, like, six kids in the house. And, like, we're always fighting and stuff. And my dad is always telling us that that little thing that we say can affect our whole entire, like, our whole relationship as a whole for the rest of our lives. And just as we go through life, if we need help with something, our relationship might not be strong enough to hold together. And that's just something that I really thought was cool. And is, like, what does mean, like, what I was thinking is that no matter what you say, it can affect someone. Like, if you're just saying, like, one small thing, making fun of someone in one small way, it can affect them for the rest of their lives. And then number two is, I saw the next word is conversation. And this is, I thought about this, and what I thought was that, like, it's not just one small, like, sentence. It's like, this is how you're talking all the time, every day of your life. How you talk, the way you talk, the spirit in which you talk, and this just like affects their attitude and the way you're saying it. And then next was charity. And this, I look this in the dictionary up as well. It's generosity and helpfulness, especially toward the needy or suffering. And I saw, as I was walking in, I saw the Thanksgiving baskets for our buses by the doors. And I just noticed that our church is such a good church that it has charity to care for the needy and poor in our community. And I'm just so thankful that God and my dad put me in this church that is so loving and caring for others. And next was spirit. And I looked this up. It was, I thought it was just like another part in your body. But what it said is, it's a special attitude or framing of mind. So like what this is just like your attitude all the time. If you have like a bad attitude, then that can affect someone and their attitude. And then both of you can affect more and more people and just keeps multiplying. And like your attitude, it just means so much. And next I saw faith. And faith is belief and trust and loyalty to God, or to believe and trust. And this is like when you believe something, it's so important that you believe it strong and outspoken and boldly so that it can affect other people. Like, for instance, like my grandparents and my uncle and his family, they aren't saved. And if we like go and hang out with them and then we're sinning all the time, they see us not sinning, or they see us sinning and not like really caring about us being saved. And then they're like, well, I mean, if this Christian is who tries to tell me about Jesus is living the same way I do, why should I be a Christian? It doesn't change anything. And then next, kind of tying into that, is purity, which is just the same, like you're going through sinning, being bad all the time, or you're just like not doing what you're supposed to be doing, and it affects them. I mean, they could, if they die and go to hell, they go to hell because you weren't listening to your parents, or you were being mean to one of your siblings, or somebody, just you're not treating them right, and that one little mistake can affect their whole entire eternity. And I just thought that was really cool, all those things in that little verse. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Again, one thing I've always encouraged, not only our teenagers, but even in first and second grade for Super Church, how much, it doesn't matter how old you are, right? You can affect the way other people are in our life. And what a blessing to hear that. And a special blessing to me, of course, but what a blessing it is for the church. Our next preacher is going to be Brother Jeremiah Peach, right? From the Peach stock, I guess you can say. But be in prayer for him. He's been burdened about this for quite some time as far as wanting to speak up and preach for the Lord. He was able to teach a Sunday school lesson here fairly just a few weeks ago in Brother Willis's class. And as soon as he made that decision at camp to do that, he's like, what can I do? All right. I'm serious about this. All right. I want to do something about this. Where can I help? I said, well, let's pray about it and see where the Lord has you. All right. And he's been helping faithfully there in the 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class with Brother Willis. And he had the opportunity to teach his first lesson just the other day, not too long ago. And now we'll hear him preach. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. But God has translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Dear Saint, first day, thank you for giving us and help us as I preach. Help me as I step out of the way for you to go, and help as the words are sinking, and bless as we get more preaching after this, and help us as we get something from the word. In Jesus' name, amen. The title is Faith is Better Than Fear. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My first point is, faith is believing that first there is a God. Because without God, there's no existence. We can't exist or function, or because there's going to be order to everything, and there can't just come out of nowhere. And for by it, the elders obtained a good report, as we see in number 2. It says, elders were people who were gone to account for God that spiritual happenings in the church. And they were people that stood up and gave an account for everything that happened in the church and outside of. And my second point is, faith is believing that second, the world was framed by the word of God. As you see in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Alright, so in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We know the story of Cain and Abel, where Cain killed his brother Abel because he thought that it was God favoring Abel, but it was just because Abel had no fear of what Cain would do to him or anybody else, because he was doing it the way God wanted to. And he was, even in the last part of the verse, he said, he being yet dead, or dead yet speaketh, which means that he was like alive. He was very in the will of God, and that he had no fear of what anybody would do to him because he had the peace of God on him. Verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he would not see death and was not found, but God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was one of the only men to not only see death other than Elijah the prophet, but was translated or carried away by God into heaven. He had no fear because he had faith in God, and that even in the last part of verse 5, it says that he pleased God. He had his testimony, this testimony that he pleased God. He was very, very into the work of God, and that he being translated by God, he was ready for the calling of God. And my third point is, faith is believing that he is infinite, as in Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is almighty, which is also known as all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and he is also love. John 3:16 tells us that he is love, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It tells us that he loved us enough to die and care for us, and says, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the only way we can seek God is through his word. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The way we would rightly divide the word of truth is getting into God's word every day, whether it be on a free time or not. It's the thing that we need to put in essential in our everyday life. And then verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must seek him out every day. And verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and being heir to the righteousness which is by faith. It says, Noah built his ark exactly how God wanted to, because he knew that if he did it any other way, it would not be able to save him, and that he had to do it God's way. God told him the specific things and the measurements of 300 by 50 by 30 cubits, and that's exactly how he did it, because he was told by God that he was supposed to do it. and that's called righteous, and righteousness, which is by faith. There was no fear in him because he knew that without God, he would sit there and his whole family would die. And so it says that, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He knew that God told him to do it and that there was no other way to get around it and that he would have to. And we see in verse 1, like even says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He just had to trust God because God knew it was coming. He didn't. And because God knew what he was coming, he needed to trust God either way. And there's even ones in the Bible like David had faith in God so much that he said that he was righteous in his sight. And so God said that even if you had faith like a little child, you would see the kingdom of God. And fearing what's going to happen in the future is pointless and useless because first, God has already said what's going to happen in his word in Revelation. So just trust that God and have enough faith in him on his promises to know that he'll take care of us. And have faith enough to know that he's our yesterday, today, and forever, so that you don't have to worry about your future because God has already secured. He won't put you through something that he doesn't know you can't take care of yourself. And he just won't let you go through something that you know you can't handle. So trust him and he'll direct that path.
That was good. What's an encouragement to me is to see our teenagers that have enough faith to stand up against their fears. Let me tell you right now, in the world today, for our teenagers, there's more to fear than ever before. Let me tell you why. And they're attacked on so many different sides. But to see them stand and be willing to overcome that, it takes faith. All right? It takes faith. So continue to be praying for them, but it's encouragement to see them grow. Our last preacher is Brother Ben. He's going to close us off and take whatever time that he needs for it. You've heard him before, and he really has just been an encouragement to our youth group as a whole. As a senior, it's expected of him to be a leader, right? Just because of the place that he is, right, as a senior. But it's not that that makes him a leader. It's the example that he's been. An example that he's been to all of our teenagers. An example to help them, to love them, to encourage them, and to just be really an example of faith. Exactly how Josiah mentioned there first, an example of the believers. And he's been an encouragement. He's been an encouragement to me. Right? He's been an encouragement to all of our teenagers. We're excited to hear what he's got for us today. Brother Ben, come up and preach.
Good evening, everyone. If you would open your Bibles to James, the book of James, please, chapter 1. It's been a good night, hasn't it? Singing has been good, and the preaching has been good. I don't know how I'm going to outdo them, but just pray for me. Like I said, James chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 25. Still here, page is timing, so I'll just wait a little bit. All right. Look in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluidity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So our heads in prayer. Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, Lord. It's been a good day. I pray that you just continue to bless, Lord. I pray that you'd use me as the vessel I need to be in. That I would give the message that you have given me. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people as it spoke to me. Thank you for all the singing and the preaching beforehand. And they've been a blessing to me. And I hope they've been a blessing to the rest of the church. God, I ask that you would use me now and just speak to the people, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So James had written this book to the Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad. You read that in the first verse of this chapter. He told them to lay apart all filthiness and superfluidity. I can't say that word. of naughtiness, and that word just means superabundance or quantity that is more than desired. Bible, and he tells them, and receive the word. Why? Because it has the power to save souls. And I'm going to be preaching to you about choosing the word. These Christians had likely been taught the law since they had been children. They had a Jewish heritage. They'd known the law, but they were sinners just like you and I. And we struggle daily to keep God's word. Every day it's a struggle, it's a battle that we have to face. James tells these Christians to not only hear the word, but to be doers of it. I can say the biggest failing of my generation is this, not choosing the word of God. I'm thankful to have a church that loves the Bible and has stayed true to it for many years. Pastor Carter and Pastor Parsons and all of the men in the church, men and women, both have took a stand on the Bible. And more importantly, even the King James Version as the Bible and the Word of God. And I'm so thankful to be in the church that has protected us and sheltered us from things outside. And we have taken a stand on the Word of God. And although our teachers and preachers have protected and taught us the scriptures since we childhood, people, even our loved ones, leave the church. Why does this happen? Because they haven't decided to follow God and His book. It's not a personal decision that they have made in their hearts. To many, it's just a book that our parents follow. I know for me, that was before I got saved. It was just another book. And it was just something that my parents had taught me. It didn't mean much to me. And when I got saved, that's when I started getting into the Word of God. And I realized it's a living book. It's not just some textbook that our Bible teachers have taught us, our Sunday school teachers have taught us. It's real. It's not just some throwaway book that you find in the library. It's real. It's God's word. It's how God speaks to His people. And God commands us to be doers of His word. We can be sure that it's not a textbook, a text written by man. It is good for us, and we need it in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I know I'm looking at many who have made that decision, and I'm so thankful that you have, but I pray that you won't just tune me out, but that you listen with an open heart, because oftentimes we make decisions, and oftentimes we forget about them. I pray that you would just listen with an open heart and just don't close me out. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 real fast. I'm going to jump around because there's a lot of verses and all good, but for the sake of time, I don't think you all want to read the whole chapter. I think it's like 60 verses. I don't know. But we'll be starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. We read here that Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord when he was only 8 years old as well. And then we see, and it says, in the 8th year of his reign, so 8 plus 8, that's 16. Okay, Mr. Sigmund taught me that. We read here that when he was 16, he began to seek after God. Not only that, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. See, he didn't just say, oh, it's God of my father. He said, and you read later in the verse, he says, his God. It doesn't just become the God of his father, it becomes personal. He made a decision that it was his God, and that he was going to seek after him. That it wasn't just something that he had been taught from his mom, his dad. It was something that he wanted to seek out. He wanted to seek out God himself. In verse number 14, it says, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So after Josiah had purged Israel of its idols and began to restore the house of the Lord, the Israelites found the book of the law. You see, the Israelites had strayed away from God for many years. Like it said, they had many molten images and idols, and Josiah had to purge that. And as they were cleaning out the temple, the house of the Lord, they found the book of the law. And you read in verse 19, And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Josiah tore his clothes off him because he heard the words of the law. Why? Because his people had not kept it. He was so convicted by God's word, it brought him to sorrow. When was the last time your Bible reading truly convicted you and it brought your heart to change? Then Josiah went before the Israelites and made a covenant to walk after the Lord. We read that in verses 29, starting there. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abomination out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. You see, when Josiah went before the Israelites to make a covenant before the Lord, and to make keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, with all his heart and with all his soul, you see, we all need to decide to follow God's word with everything that we have. And we need to do that before God. And instead of telling people that, yes, I stand for the Bible, we need to believe that in our hearts. We need to make sure that's real to us, that it's not just lip service, that it's something real, it has substance to it. Because Josiah made that decision, the people around him did likewise. When we make a decision, it may encourage other people to do the same. Like Brother James preached this morning, he's preached about people getting saved, and he said, if one person gets saved, well, you and that person go tell someone else. That's four. After four people, that's eight. And it just keeps on going. Because one person made the decision to tell someone else about God and to get saved, more people get saved. And it just keeps going and it keeps going. It's not, and it's because Josiah took these little steps. He made the decision when he was eight to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Then when he was 16, to seek after the Lord. And then as I think it's 20 years old that he got read the law, and then he made the covenant to keep the law, to keep the book of the law, to keep God's word. See, each decision that he made led up to that. And we see that because, like Josiah, he seek after the Lord and obey it, we need to make a covenant with God to obey his word. I turn back to James just real quick, just to reread verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible tells us clearly that if we are a doer of the word, we shall be blessed in our deed. Now we will face persecution, even more so because we choose to live a consecrated life and seek the Lord. John chapter 15, verse 18, if the word hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. God will protect us if we put our trust in him and his word. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. See, God will protect us. In spite of persecution, and this church has come under so much persecution in the past for taking a stand on the word of God, but we're still here. We're still founded on the word of God. We're still standing for the things that have been written in his word. And we're still going and telling people about him. I'm thankful for a church that does that. God will reward us for being obedient to him. I want to hear my Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear him when I get to heaven. I want to hear those words. And I want to know that when I get to heaven that I have kept God's word. We look at Josiah, it said that he lived a good life, and the people before, they kept God's word as long as he reigned. You see, because he took that step forward, he was an encouragement to his people. He encouraged other people to take a stand likewise. And just 5 quick points. I feel like Pastor having a long introduction. But read number 1. The Bible is God's word. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You can't choose the Bible if you don't believe that it's God's word. Number 2, the Bible tells us about salvation. 1 John chapter 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no reason to wait. There really isn't. The Bible tells us that our life is like a vapor. It goes like that. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed the next hour. God could come at any moment, and with the signs of the times, it does look like that. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I hope that you make that decision today. And you can't really choose the Bible if you haven't accepted Him as your Savior. It's not as real to you as it would be if you don't know Him. Because I know God, I know this is His book, and I know it's personal to me because I know Him. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's not someone else's. He's my God. This is His word, and it speaks to me. The Bible is our foundation. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which has built his house upon a rock. Choose God's word as your foundation, and you won't stumble. We see a lot of churches nowadays that have stumbled because they've chosen a different Bible. They've chosen to stray away from God's word. And you see that there's no fruit. No one's getting saved. It's not the same atmosphere. I'm thankful for a church that I can walk in and I know that this is a place that stands on God's word. They have a big Bible right there. Everyone that walks in the door, they see God's word first thing when they come in here. We preach from God's word. The Sunday school, we teach from God's word. The school, it's all based on God's word. Why? Because it's never failed. It won't ever cause you to stumble. And the Bible changes us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let the word of God change you. And I heard people say that the Bible is like a mirror almost. You see who yourself, where you really are, and it provokes a change. Don't be like the man, like it said in verses 23 and 24, For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you're really in the word and you don't just hear it and you do it, you won't leave the same. When you come to God, you won't be the same. You look at all the people who were sick, paralyzed, the blind. They never left Jesus the same way that they were. They were always changed. God will always change you if you let him. And you can't if you don't go to his word. And the Bible is powerful. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. And Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. God's word is powerful and will impact our lives and the lives around us. It's coming up to Missions Month, and there's so many missionaries that all they do is just send out Bibles to people. Why? Because the word of God is powerful. It changes us, and it's the foundation. Think of how many people wouldn't be saved if we didn't have God's word, but we do. And without it, we have nothing to stand on, but we're thankful that we do. We're thankful that it's been preserved through the generations and that God has always protected his word and preserved it for us so that we could have it. It changes us. Like I said, it is powerful. It will not leave you the same way as you were. Application is simply this. Choose the word of God and obey it. Don't settle for being a hearer only. Like Josiah, seek after the Lord. Seek after his word and obey it. Make a covenant with God to obey his word. Look to the men and women who came before us. So many of them have died for God's word. Why? So that we could have it. So that we could tell other people about the Lord that saved us. The Lord that died on the cross for our sins. Man. Look to the men and women who came before us. They sacrificed everything. Their whole lives, even sometimes their families' lives as well, just so that we could have the Word of God in our hands today. You won't regret deciding to choose the Bible. You won't ever regret choosing the Lord. I can look at every single adult in this building, and I think they'd agree to tell us teenagers, serve the God now. Seek after Him now. We won't regret it. They haven't regretted it, and I'm sure all of them wish that they had done it when they were our age. And I pray that teenagers, that we would decide to choose God's Word and that we would stand on it. It wouldn't be just something that our parents have taught us, that our family has kept us, and that we only do it because of our family, but that it's something that's real to us. It's something that's personal. It's not something that we just hear. It's something that we do. It's a part of our lives. It's not just a book. It's God's Word. And I've heard it said, it's God's love letter to me. It's how God talks to us. It's how God communicates to us. And I pray that you would, today, everyone here, would decide to choose the Bible.
Let's have all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me ask you a few questions. Let me start with this here. How real is God to you? As you take a look at our teenagers, you hear them sing, you hear them speak or preach, Father, or you hear them preach, and you can see it's real in their hearts. How real is it to you? For it to be real to you, it's got to start one place and one place alone, with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior today. You know, you can be in church for many, many years, sit through every single service, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Word of God. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're older. And you don't know Jesus Christ in a real way. You haven't truly trusted in Him as your Savior. Let me encourage you, when the invitation begins, to come up to the front and someone will show you what the Bible says about being saved. But let me ask you, Christian. You're saved. You know it. But is He still real to you as He was the first time you got saved? Remember that day? Your faith was so real. Your faith was so true. You read your Bible and it was alive to you. Is it still alive the way that it once was? Do you still have the same relationship that you did with them? And is it changing your life daily the way it's supposed to? Is it affecting you and your witness, as our brother Josiah mentioned here? Are you truly being an example of the believers as you get the Word of God in your heart? Do you have the faith in your life to overcome the fears in your life? And is it real to you? Is the Word of God changing you? As we begin our invitation, let me encourage you to come forward and do business with God. Let's all stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here and you just simply need to come to this altar and you need to be changed. It's an altar so we can have our lives altered. It's an altar so we can have our lives changed. Maybe there's another burden or need that you need to come forward for. But a blessing is to know that we do have a real God if you allow Him to be real to you. If here you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have people up front that will show you what the Bible says about being saved. Come forward today. Have the peace of God by having your faith in Jesus Christ. As we begin the invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Come up to this altar and just simply give that burden to Him. A real God is there waiting for you with open arms for you to cast your cares upon Him. Maybe you're here and you just want to praise the Lord. Man, what a blessing it is just to come up to the altar and just be thankful. Maybe you're here and maybe you're young of our young people. I heard that song, Sheltered. Maybe you had the opportunity to have a life that was sheltered and you want to praise Him for it. And maybe you didn't. And maybe instead you had the opportunity to feel God's grace cleanse you from your sin. Man, what a blessing that is. Sometimes we just need to come up to the altar and just praise Him. Just thank Him for all that He's done. How good of a God we serve. How good of a God that regardless of what everyone else does in our lives, we can please Him. We can serve Him. Because He's real to us personally. God we serve, and what a blessing it is to see teenagers that see and have a real God. Let me encourage you, as you see them, number one, first, continue to be praying for them. As I mentioned before, it's a tough battle. In today's world, it's a tough battle, and you know it. So be in prayer for them, be in prayer for our school, be in prayer for their families, and encourage them. All right, encourage them. And know that they love you, and it was a blessing to them to be able to serve you tonight. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord God, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, again, for your goodness and your grace to us and the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, we would have a new love for the word of God, a new love for a real God of the word, Father. Lord God, you would change our lives through it. And Lord, as I mentioned, I pray for our teenagers, that you continue to impress yourself upon their hearts, and Lord, you would make yourself real to their lives, that they be willing to stand and to choose you. Lord God, we want to thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, again, I pray if there's anyone here that isn't saved today, that Lord, you would work in their hearts and they would be saved. Bless now the rest of the evening with the meeting to come, and bless us as we go our way home, and as we look forward to a new week, an opportunity to glorify and to please you. We ask all these things and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.